Okay, Rabbi Tai. We are learning the sugya of binyan and stira b'kelim. So far, we have two major shitos in Rishonim. The shita of Rashi slash the Yerayim is that ain binyan ustira b'kelim. It's a categorical statement. We noted there are slight differences between Rashi and the Yerayim, but that's one shita. The shita of Tosfos is that if there is binyan gamor, then there is yesh binyan ustira b'kelim. That's what Taisa says on Ardaf on Ayin Dalet Amid Beis kisha osa legamri kol hakli. Then there is binyan ustira b'kelim. Taisus on Kuf Beis Amid Beis uses a lashon of chizuk for umnus. If it's like a professional act, then there is yesh binyan ustira b'kelim. Taisus holds sometimes there is yesh binyan ustira b'kelim. Sometimes there isn't, depending on how professional the act is, depending on whether I'm making an entire keli or I'm not making an entire keli. Now, the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Vav tells me that Shover Adam is Hechoves Lecho Himena Grogros, that you're allowed to break open Shover Adam, it's Mutar L'Chatchila, to break open a Choves in order to eat. Grogros are figs. The Gemara says we're talking about figs which are stuck together, and therefore you need a knife to cut them open. And even though we're going according to the Tanna of Nechemya, the Enkeli Nito, but you're carrying the knife in order to cut the figs that are stuck together. So there's no Isser Muksan carrying the knife. You're going to chop open the top of the chavis and you get the grogros out. The Mishnah says it's Heter Gomor. Nishela Tasha Ela, all the Rishonim are bothered by the Kasha. How is it Mutter? There should be an Isser of Stira B'Kalim. Zucked Rashi, it's Mutter because it's Mekalkel. Ebe Mekalkel, Shum Isser B'Shabbos. Now, the Ran jumps up and down and says, Rashi, what are you talking about? Ein b'mekalkel iser b'Shabbos. The Ran asks, 1 second. Of course it's usser. Mekalkel is usser midrabanon. How can the Mishnah say it's mutter legamre? And Rashi explained, because it's mekalkel, kilkel doesn't make something mutter legamre. That's the Ran's kashin. So the Ran says an answer which is eichet, hard to understand. The Ran gives an answer that it's tzorech haShabbos. You need to eat the figs on Shabbos, tzorech haShabbos, therefore it's mutter. Now, I do not understand this. What? It's mutter to do a melacha with tzorech Shabbos, right? No, you can't, right? It's not permitted. What exactly the Ran means is also hard to understand. The Ran in explanation of Rashi.
Is he referring to the chi of mangal?
The chi of what?
Mangal.
Mangal?
If hey ER falls on Shabbos?
I know that you're cracking a joke. I'm just not getting it.
Have we said that mangal is one of the mitzvot hayom on hey ER, no?
Yeah, we're going to skip this one. Let's go weiter. So here's the thing. Rashi says it's muta alts mekalkel. Hard to know what Rashi means. Comes along the Kiddushei Chasam Sofer on this stuff, and Rabbi Willig references this in his Sefer Am Mordechai on page 148. Maybe it's all Rashi l'shitasa. Since Rashi holds in binyan ustira b'kelim, that means min hatayra, it's not usr, the only isr is midrabanan. Maybe by an isr drabanan, we will be make on mekalkel if it's l'tzorach Shabbos. We put everything together. We make mamish a chalent with potatoes and meat, right? It's mekalkel on kelim and in binyan ustira b'kelim and it's l'tzorach Shabbos. Maybe that's why I'm making. Maybe that's the pshat in Rashi. That's what Rabbi Willig suggests. I like this pshat. I think it's elegant. Aval, we have to be honest, that lushan of Rashi, ein b'mekalkel shum iser Shabbos, is me'od lo b'mashma. Rashi's lushan that mekalkel zero iser is very difficult. If you look in the Bir Halacha, right at the beginning of Simon Shin Yud Daled, the Bir Halacha has a discussion as to whether Rashi's Kula is by Mekalkeh of all Malachais, or is Rashi's Kula is by Mekalkeh only on this Malacha of Stira. There could be massive nafkaminas, just in terms of opening Kalim. One of the issues that we're probably not going to discuss today is that opening Kalim can create a problem of mochik often, no? If I open a keli and I have my wrapper on my chocolate bar, I'm going to rip letters, no? That's mochik. Well, maybe Rashi holds that mekalkel, letzayrech Shabbos, no greater tzayrech Shabbos ever than eating a geshmaka charcoal, no? That's tzayrech Shabbos.
Birthday cake also.
Birthday cake also. Yeah, these things are mamish tzayrech Shabbos, of course. So if you accept...
Wait, mekalkel plus tzayrech Shabbos plus...
Again, so if the Ran straight up is saying that mekalkel letzayrech Shabbos is mutter, then I could be make on mochek also. Then I could make on many malachos. But according to the way we're learning Rashi, that it's only by stira, and only because Rashi fundamentally holds in stira b'kelim, so, and that's really what the Bir Halacha says, although without this whole explanation that we're giving, then I cannot be make all on...
unless you make it a derabanan now.
Once I'm assuming that's derabanan, perhaps. So if it's mochek midrabanan, perhaps if I'm mochik between the letters, that's not mochik min hatera, right? Perhaps that's not mochik at all, right? And once I could lower it to drabanan, it's possible to be mekal, but if I'm dealing with a d'oraisa, it's much harder to be mekal. Okay, so that's nekuda rishona. Nekuda shniya, taisus. Taisus asks the kasha, how can it be shover odom as a chavis? Aye. We paskin that there is stira gemura by kalim. Right? Tosus tells us, ayin dalev kuf beis, that ain binyan ustir by kalim means if it's like just putting it together, mita, right, trasko, you're just flipping the stuff into place like a folding chair. But if it's binyan gomor, stira gemura, that does apply by kalim. So how is it that you're able to be shaver adam as a chavis? So Tosus answers, I'm not talking about a regular chavis, I'm talking about a mustiki. A mustiki is a lousy chavis. Rashi and Beitzer writes, it's like nidbak with shivrei kalim, it's staves of wood that like you stick together with, you know, chewing gum, or the equivalent.
Mastique,
right. Mastique. Very sticky. Right? You're just, It's a lousy keli. It's a garbage keli. And therefore, Tosa says, only by this lousy garbage keli, only there do I say, ain stira b'kelim. Only there do I assume that shover adam es hachavis. That's Tosa's shita. Tosa then goes on to say that the Gemara in Erevin is bothered by the kasha. An Erev really does not mean the strings I have around the city. Erev means the thing of bread that enables everyone to carry because it's ke'ilu, we all live in the same place. The Erev has to be accessible. The Erev is located in 475 West 186th Street, apartment 2E, in Rabbi Kolinsky's apartment. There's a box of matzah. It belongs to all of you. If you are ever hungry on a Shabbos and you want to eat matzah, knock on the Kolinsky door. If they say you can't get in and eat the matzah, the Erev is puzzle. In order for the Erev to be kosher, everyone needs access to that matzah, right? It's your matzah. It belongs to you. You're hungry? Go and get matzah.
Considering going with the dinner on Friday night.
Oh, you're going there for Friday night?
No, just for matzo.
Oh, just for matzo, huh? Gevaldik, right? 100%. Knock on the door, right? Yeah, that's the way it works. So Tosfos is bothered by Akasha that the Gemara in Erevin says that let's say I have the Erev, I have the matzo, and it's in some sort of locked tower. Is that a kosher Erev or not? So the Gemara says, well, if you have a key and you can't access the key, it's a puzzle Erev. So Thraktisus, why don't you just break the box? Why don't you just knock down that tower? So Tosa says, I'll tell you why not, because that's not a mustiki. I'm only make on breaking the box if it's a mustiki. If it's not a mustiki, I am not make on breaking the box. That's what Tosa says. Givaldic. So Tosa Sushita is understandable. Tosa Sushita is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Shin Yudalid Se'if Aleph, Ein Binyan Nestirah B'Kelem, Hani Milish Eino Binyan Mamish, Kigon Chavis Shanishvara V'Dibek Shvareha. Right? That this din of Ein Binyan Nestirah B'Kelem is only by a lousy Keli, is only by a mustiki. The Mechaber Paskin straight up like Tysus. There is another answer to the Kasha. Again, if I hold Yesh Binyan Ustira became fundamentally, at least by Binyan Ustira Gemura, right? That's what Tosas holds. That if I build a Kalim, there's Yesh Binyan Bekalim. So how is it that Shover Adam is a Chavis? How is it that I'm allowed to break open the barrel? So the Ran sounds like this. The Ran writes that if it's not binyan gomor, it's mutter. The Ran does not say that there's a difference between a mustiki and not a mustiki, but the Ran writes that there's a difference between a very big keli and not a big keli. If the keli is machzik arba'im sa'ah, then there's a problem. If it's not machzik arba'im sa'ah, it's okay, providing it's not binyan gomor. Meaning, according to the Ran, when the Gemara in Erevin says that I'm not allowed to break down that tower in order to get the matzah, that's talking about a really large keli. A large keli, if it's machzik arba'im sa'ah, has a din of karka in terms of Kabbalah's tumah and the like. That's what a large keli is. Zuck the Ran. That a large keli, yesh binyan astira. That's considered karka. A small keli, not binyan astira, unless it's binyan gomor and stira gemura. Now, therefore, l'cha'ora, you have to say somehow that according to the Ran, there is no stira gemura when I break open this chavis. And it's hard to understand why not, no? I have grogros, I have figs inside a barrel. The Mishnah says I'm allowed to take my knife, my sword, right, and lop off the top of that barrel. How am I allowed to do that? Bechora, that's stira gemura. How is it that it's mutter? So I am not sure, but I'll tell you that my kasha is not only on the Ran, my kasha is on Maimonides as well, right? Because the Rambam tells me in Perek Yud that yesh binyan ustira bekelim if it's binyan gomor and stira gemura. In Perek Chof Gimel, the Rambam just quotes the Mishnah straight up, shover adam es hachavis. What's the heter? So I am not sure, but I have two approaches, gentlemen. Two approaches. And again, these two approaches, I think, will serve to answer both the Rambam and the Ran. Right? Again, let's just bazaar. We got a problem. If you hold that there is binyan ustira bekelim gemurim, how is it permitted to be shover adam es hachavis? So Tosa says it's a mustiki. Therefore, it's not a great keli. It's a lousy keli. That's why I could break it open. But the Ran doesn't say mustiki. The Rambam doesn't say mustiki. So how is it I'm allowed to break open the keli? So I would like to suggest two things. Thing one is when Tosfos speaks about binyan gomor and stira gemura, we noted that there are different versions of the Tosfos. One version of the Tosfos is the way Artosis has it on Ayin Daled, Asiyas Kol HaKli. But there's another version in Taisus. The other version in Taisus is Taisus on Kuf Beis, where Taisus says if it requires umness or not. So I would like to suggest as follows. Ready? You need a professional to build a keli, but any four-year-old could break a keli. It doesn't require any umness to break a keli. I have 1,000 rayas from my own life that a four-year-old could take a keli and smash it and destroy it and break it. There is no umness at all involved. I would suggest that that's the pshat in the Ran and the Rambam, that they hold binyan gomor and stira, they hold binyan gomor and stira gomor as asur by keli. But we have to understand there is such a thing as binyan gomor. Binyan gomor requires umness, and stira gomor is also the type of thing that you need a professional to break open. Like a carpenter is sometimes necessary to break something. If you have a really sturdy cabinet or something, my little kid can't come, but this chavis, right? Any little kid with a sword can knock it off. I really think that that's the pshat in the Rambam. It's not, it doesn't require any expertise at all to break open this chavis. That's what I would suggest as a possibility within the Rambam. In our dear beloved friend, Archos Shabbos. The Archos Shabbos has a whole chapter about opening kelim. In footnote 3 in that chapter, he has a suggestion. He makes a suggestion within the Rambam, but l'cha'ora, it's necessary for the Ran as well, like we pointed out. And he says, maybe, how come it's mutter to be shover adam es ha-chavis? How come it's mutter to break the chavis open? So he says, maybe the approach is like what it says in the pseudo-Ran. If you remember, there are a few different people named Ran, right? they all play for the Anaheim Angels, right? They're all named Ran, a bunch of Rans. So one guy named Ran is the Mosada Rav Kook Ran. That's the real Ran. There's also, in the old editions of the Ran, there is some person, we call it the pseudo Ran, or the Miyuchas Laharan. We don't know who really wrote it. Rabbi Rosenzweig always says it was probably written by a reputable Rishon. The way I would say it is it was written by someone who had a beard. But the point is that the pseudo Ran says, the reason why Shover Adam is Hachavis is because the chavis is considered keklipe rimon. That's his example. Meaning to say, sometimes I view a keli like it's a keli. I view the keli like it has its own independent standing. But there are times that the keli is just there to hold the food. Mali, if I have, what does the klipa of a rimon do? What does the peel of a pomegranate do? It protects the pomegranate seeds, no? It keeps the pomegranate intact. I can have the type of keli, which is just a klipa rimon. It's a keli that's not going to be used for anything else. It's not necessarily flimsy and lousy and mustiki, but it's a klipa rimon. And that might be why it's mutter. Maybe Shaver. Now, again, how far I go with this Svara, I don't know. I should point out that this Svara is found in the Beis Yosef in Se'if Ches, B'Shem the Kolbo. Se'if Ches tells me, again, all the sources are in Shin Yudal, and Se'if Ches tells me that Chos Rosh Tzvar Mugrogros, if I have little bags with dates in it, so I'm allowed to rip the bag open. Why am I allowed to rip the bag open? How's it mutter? So the Rishonim will say, well, the bag is like the peel of the fruit. It could be that Me'ezah Sibashahi, I don't know how far I go with this Svara that it's like the peel of the fruit, but the pseudo Ran says this Svara about the Chavis in the Mishnah Kuf Memvav, and maybe that's the Pshat in the Rambam. right? Not necessarily that the material is flimsy, not necessarily it's a mustiki, but because this chavis is only there to hold the tamarim, so perhaps, to hold the grogeros, so perhaps that's why it's okay. I am not sure. Yes, sir?
We assume that stira is the opposite of binyan, correct?
In most cases, yeah.
What
but,
would the,
yeah.
If you define binyan b'kelim as binyan kol ha'kli, how would you define stira b'kelim?
Stira is kol ha'kli.
What does that mean? Does that mean making it so that it's no longer a whole kli, or getting rid of the whole kli?
So I would think it means getting rid of the whole kli. Just like binyan kol ha'kli, the chora means from gracious until in the kol Yisrael. So also stira means
gracious.
That's right. That's what I'd assume.
Then I don't understand what the hash of this is.
In other words,
when I break the chalvus, I'm not bringing it to its core component.
That's sort of what I was saying, but the problem is Tosis on Kuf Beis uses a lashon binyan kol ha'kli. Other versions of Tosis don't use such a lashon. Depending on which, you're right. Depending on which version of Tosis I have, right,
I can. The other option is to say that stira is the opposite of binyan in the same way that we've been.
That's correct, and we know that stira and binyan are not always opposites because they have malacha shein shrikul and gufa issues and the like. Okay, so gentlemen. Now we come to a halachic conversation.
Oh, wait.
Let me finish. Yeah, yeah.
Why is that not being applied here by the Kli? I don't want the Kli broken. I have no echvas li this Kli. If I was four dimensional, I'd just reach into the inside and pick up that thing. This happens to me. I'm stuck in three dimensions.
So whether this is considered malacha shein tzricha legufa or not might depend on precisely how we define malacha shein tzricha legufa, and we would probably fight about this. But alternatively, malacha shein tzricha legufa is more chomor than other klalam in Shabbos, and I treat malacha shein tzricha legufa as like derisas also, like we see by extinguishing fires and etc. Now, the Rambam at the beginning of Shin Yud Daled quotes. Right, again, the Chaver says in binyan stira b'kelim, but this is only binyan mamish like a chavis. But this is only, excuse me, if it's not binyan mamish like a chavis shenishpira like a mustaki. The Rama adds she'ena binyan mamish b'gulim chavis she'ena machsekas arba'im sa'a. The Rama adds this idea of being machsek arba'im sa'a. Nishalat hasha'ela. That the Ramah has just mixed kasha mitbarsht. Because what the Ramah has just done is he is quoting a different daya in Rishonim, one that the Mechaber is not subscribing to, and he does not use the words v'yesh omrim. Remember, the Ran answered the stira between the Gemara and Erevin that says, I'm not allowed to break it open, and our Mishnah on Kuf Mem Vav that says, I can break it open. The Ran answered that stira, big keli, little keli. Tosis answered the stira, mustiki, not mustiki. Mechaber quotes Tosis of mustiki, not mustiki. The Rama is quoting the Ran of big keli, small keli.
Could Rabbi read inside the official margin?
Ein binyan ustira b'kelim, mechaber. O mechaber. V'hani mili she'enu binyan mamesh kigon chavis shenishpura v'dibek shvarel. That's the mechaber. Rama adds, Kigon chavis haga she'ena machsekas haba'im sa'a. Right, the Ramah throws in ena machsekas haba'im sa'a. So then the Siv Chayim on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch asks, how come the Ramah is invoking the shita of the Ran, right, when the Mechaber is quoting the shita of Tosis, and Tosis and the Ran are saying different things. That's what the Siv Chayim asks. So the Nesiv Chaim says, you know what? It seems to me that this idea of Eina Machsekes Harbaim Sa'ah is accepted by everybody min Hasvara. It happens that Tosis elsewhere, Tosis in Erevin and Lamed Dal Lamed Beis suggests this, right? So perhaps the Ramah is saying that you can have your cake and eat it. You can hold of the idea of Mustiki and also hold if it's Machsek Harbaim Sa'ah, it's a problem. The Bir Halacha over here, the first Bir Halacha in the Siman quotes that he doesn't quote that the Nesiv Chaim is bothered by this Kasha, and how could the Ramah say something when the Mechaber is saying something else? The Bir Halacha says that the Rashba Avodas HaKodesh says this idea also. The Rashba Avodas HaKodesh says, that if you are a mustiki, that is machzik arba'im sa'a, it's a problem.
Doesn't the Rama say the opposite? Doesn't the Rama say that? Maybe I'm confused. Doesn't the Rama say you need either to be a mustiki or not be machzik arba'im sa'a?
It's not. No, I don't think so. The Rama writes about the Machaber. The Machaber says that if it's a mustiki, it's permitted.
Right.
And the Rama says it has to not be machzik arba'im sa'a. Right? Meaning if it's machzik arba'im sa'a, it's a problem.
You need both. So,
now, no one says you need both. So the Siv Chaim says, no one says it, but it's a svara. The Bir Halacha says, I found someone who says it. The Rashba Navodas HaKodesh says it.
Says you need both?
You need both. That's the first Bir Halacha in Shin Yud Dalet. Now, time to get to practical Halacha. Practical Halacha. Who do I hold like? I have Rashi. I have Tosfos. I have the Ran. And we have variables within these shittos, just to confuse things, because I have Rashi and the Urayim who are about the same but slightly different. I have versions within Tosfos. The Ran, right? I'm not 1,000,000% sure exactly what he's saying, the Ran and the Rambam, but we just outlined the shittos Harishonim. It's worth noting, by the way, that the Machaber seems to paskin like Tosfos. The Rama seems to paskin like the Ran, but according to this Bir Halacha, it's just like a zooped up version of Tosfos, right? That you need both, that in order to be mutter, it has to be both mustiki and not arba'im sa'a. That's what we have in the Machaber and the Rama. The Vilna Gaon paskins like Rashi. The Vilna Gaon paskins, as a matter of a categorical halacha, the Gra Paskins, that's a Machlekes Rav and Shmuel on Kuf Beis, where the Yesh Binyan Bekalim, Ein Binyan Bekalim, and we Paskin Ein Binyan Bekalim at all, entirely. The Gra Paskins straight like Rashi. And that might be the easiest read of all the sugyas. And therefore, the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Vav is just saying that it's Mutter because it's Mekalkel, Kemosha Hisparnu, but the Gra does not seem like many Gras. It works very well. It's beautiful, but does not seem to be accepted by later Poskim. But the Gra Paskins like Rashi. So what happens? Am I allowed to open a can of sardines on Shabbos? That's what the case the Chazanish deals with. Most of you have probably not eaten sardines. We'll call it tuna. Can I open the tuna can on Shabbos? Now, this question...
Does it matter if you're using a can opener or one of those pull tabs?
We could talk about them separately, but it probably doesn't matter. Now, one of the large questions over here is, how do I view this can? Is it a mustiki? If it's a mustiki, stira is mutter according to Tosfos. What's the definition of mustiki? Does mustiki mean something that's lousy because it's flimsy? The metal can is not particularly flimsy, but most of us throw out metal cans. No? Now, in the Chazon Ish, he has a suggestion, which maybe we'll talk about in... Wait. We'll talk about the Chazon Ish in 3 minutes. Is the can a mustiki? So it could be that the can is a mustiki. It could be. Right? Reb Shlomo Zalman entertains this idea seriously, that mustiki does not necessarily mean flimsy, but disposable is mustiki. That would mean that if I hold a shover adam as a chavis by a mustiki, I could open up my sardine can on Shabbos. Now, the Mishnah does say, Ubovad shalo yiskavin lasos pesach, right? If I am making a nice opening, it's going to be a problem. So perhaps there would be a difference between using a can opener, which makes it very nice, and just like breaking it open in a not nice way, right? Assuming that there's an iser v'asiyas pesach by a mustiki, which is the simple reading of the Mishnah according to Tosfos. So you could open a tuna can, a sardine can on Shabbos, Just don't make it look very nice. Right? So if you use a can opener, usually people get a good clean opening. Use it like, imagine that you have two left hands and three thumbs. Right? You know, like a chlis, you mess the opening up. It's not a Pesach Yafeh. It would be mutter. I think that is what should emerge. Lahalacha. But this assumption is that the can is exactly the same as the Mishnah and Kuf Mem Vav. Now let's look at that Mishnah for a second. The Mishnah is a chavis. A chavis is a barrel. But the barrel has a cover on it. No? The cover was attached to the barrel after. But l'cha'ira, it's a keli with a cover. Comes along the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish says that, you know what, the tuna can is not the same as the chavis in the Mishnah. Because the chavis is a keli that was stuck on. So the issue at hand is Seiser. However, my sealed tuna can is not a keli. Because a keli means something that you put stuff in, you take stuff out. The barrel, I put stuff in, I took stuff out of it beforehand, it's a keli. Right now, it's a sealed keli, but it's a keli. If I have something that has been entirely sealed, and it's sealed tight, it's sealed well, it's vacuum sealed, no? The way they make tuna cans, right? It's mamish vacuumed in, or else it goes bad. It's really tight, says the Chazon Ish. It's not a keli. The pashtus in the Chazon Ish, in Simin Nun Aleph, Os Yud Aleph, it's kedai to try to read these Chazon Ishes, gentlemen. The pashtus in the Chazon Ish, in Simin Nun Aleph, Os Yud Aleph, is that it's not a keli while it is sealed. When you open it up, you are making it a keli. So according to the Chazon Ish, our Mishnah on Kuf Mem Vav is completely irrelevant. Because our Mishnah is dealing with issues of Soser, but I have to deal with issues of Bona. And the Chazon Ish says, maybe, perhaps, the keli, that tuna can which I'm opening, perhaps I'm not making a keli because I'm going to throw it out right away. But Zuck the Chazon Ish, it's not true, because people keep nails in old tuna cans. Abba, you remember this? In the garage, you have nails in old cans, right? It's a generational thing. People have it. The Chazon Ish said, people, it's mamash is mashal. I'm not making this up, Chevra, right? This is what the Chazon Ish writes. Harbe b'nei Adam datam ala kufsa.
I have tons of cardboard boxes I've collected that I use for organizational things.
Right. People save cardboard boxes for organizational things. I want to talk about cardboard boxes slightly separately. Right now I'm talking about the sardine cans, the tuna cans.
Jars, like the tomato sauce.
We'll talk about jars of tomato sauce in a second also. The Chazon Ish says, first of all, maybe it's not, again, according to the Chazon Ish, it's not a keli while it's sealed. When I open it up, it becomes a keli. However, you can't say it becomes a keli if you never use it. So Zuck the Chazon Ish, people use their cans. They use their cans for storing nails. The Chazon Ish has the same idea, by the way, in Simon Samach Aleph, Os Beis, where the Chazon Ish has a discussion of opening letters. There are two types of letters. One type of letter is, you guys probably never saw this. When I was in yeshiva in Israel, we still use these. They're called aerograms. It was the type of letter that you'd write on the inside, and then you would seal it up with like a bit of gum, and you'd write the address on the outside. Basically like one piece of paper folded over. That's one type of letter. Again?
Like a postcard?
It's not a postcard. A postcard, you could see the writing on the back. Over here, you can't see the writing because it's all sealed over.
Like a private postcard.
It's a private postcard, maybe. I mean, I'm not sure But yeah, they were called aerograms. Like when I was in yeshiva, we used to buy them in the store by Givat Washington, and then we used to mail them home. There was a thing, they're very cheap, those aerograms. It was great. So that's one type of letter. The other type of letter is that you have a letter that you put in a matafa. You have a letter that you put in an envelope. The Chaznish discusses, can you open the envelope on Shabbos? Chaznish writes, well, people often store stuff in envelopes. There was a thing. People would keep like old, if you're a stamp collector, you would keep old stamps in envelopes. That's what the Chaznish writes in Simon Samach Aleph Ois Beis. According to the Chaznish, something that people might use for storage is usher. No, Safa Kafzak the Chaznish.
The security guards, they keep all the keys for the various dorm rooms in like these little labeled envelopes.
That's what, right. Okay, correct. Yeah, that's a good example. Again, we're talking about an envelope that was already used for a letter and now you're opened. Right? Most of us throw out the envelopes that we get, correct? And you get a... I mean, most of us don't get letters ever in the mail. But you get something in the mail. Usually it's a bill. Right? You get it up. You rip it up. You want to throw the whole bill out. But you can't throw the bill out. You at least throw out the envelope to be Yotze. Right? Right? You keep stuff in envelopes. That's right. Standard. That's what the Chaznish says. The Chaznish further writes that if I have, let's say, a big can, let's forget about tuna. Let's say I have a big can of pizza sauce. Don Perillo, no? It's great stuff. You can make your own pizza beautiful. Tastes gewaldig. Don Perillo pizza sauce. This is an official endorsement. They pay me big money to say this and share. Now, I'm going to open the can, and I'm going to use it a face for 3, 4, 5 times, no? I'm not going to empty all the contents of the can originally. So the Chaznish thinks that is mamish and iser of asiyas kli. Again, according to the Chaznish, kol zman that it's sealed up, it's not a keli. When I open it, it becomes a keli. You're going to throw it out right away? So some people don't for nails. Let's say you live in a place that no one keeps nails in their old tuna cans anymore, but if it's a big can that takes you a while to empty all the contents, says the Chaznish, that for sure is an iser of asiyas kli. Oh, thank you very much. That's right. That's like a big jar. You keep it, right? Time and time again, you keep a lot of stuff in it, right? So according to Chaznish, that's an iser of asiyas kli. Now, our dear beloved friend.
Consumerism is good for halacha or bad for halacha? I'm getting confused. What? Consumerism is good for halacha or bad for halacha?
Is it good for hadzwaka or halacha?
Halacha. Halacha.
Is what good for halacha? Is chazanish?
We buy things and throw them away.
It makes the fact that we throw stuff away makes stuff more mutter. In other words, the first svar of the Chaznish that people use their tuna cans for nails, I think is not true anymore. I think almost no one uses tuna cans to store nails.
I have this little cup here, this plastic cup, you get 500 of them for a dollar, and I have storing coins in.
Correct. So you don't need an old tuna can to store nails. Right? People don't do that anymore. So I'd say the first svar of the Chaznish is not so relevant, but the second svar, that if it's a large keli, you're going to reuse it in the sense of I'm going to pour out a little bit of tomato sauce today, a little bit tomorrow, a little bit the next day. So the Chaznish assumes that then I mamish made it a keli. The Megillah Sefer disagrees with this.
The jar, though, really?
What?
The jar. Also? Because the whole
part
of the can comes.
So right now I'm talking about a can, a jar that has like a separate cover. We'll have to talk about as a different conversation. I think I'm going to have to finish this sugya tomorrow. Maybe we'll do a few minutes of hashgaf. I have to finish this tomorrow, but we're not done with shir yet today. But I know I'm not going to finish today. But here's the thing, gentlemen. The Megillah Sefer argues that the svara that something becomes a keli because it takes me 3 or 4 or 5 days, whatever it is, to pour out the contents, He says that's not correct. And he has a raya. There's a, you know, there's a halacha of tevilas kelim. Something that's a keli, you have to be tevil. What happens if I buy a big bottle of glass? Years ago, Snapple used to come in glass. And Rav Shechter used to be makbid not to drink directly from the Snapple when it was glass, because he felt that needed tevilas kelim. Now, Baruch Hashem, Achshar Dara, and Snapple comes in plastic. But let's say you have an old, big glass thing of
What? They still make them in glass.
They still make what in glass?
That's not a bottle.
Oh, yeah?
I bought like some 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
I think they make both.
They make both?
Yeah.
For people who like...
people glass. Who are environmentally conscious probably want... if you like the environment, you're probably into glass, not plastic, because plastic takes like a million years to disintegrate. And the glass, they recycle. No? I think that's the shot. So if I buy a big glass container, so if I'm going to drink it one time, it could be it's disposable, that's at the gomar, I'll throw it out. Many posts can assume there's no tefilas kelim necessary on the disposable keli. But let's say I'm going to keep it, right, and I'm going to pour the soda out over the course of a week. Or it's a big thing of olive oil. It's going to take me 6 months to empty the glass.
It's so it's the new trend, reduce, reuse, recycle. There's a whole reuse step over there.
Okay.
There's a push now to reuse.
I keep it at home for many months until I get rid of my olive oil in a big glass container. Do I have to table it? So in the Tshuvas of Yeshua Leib Diskin, he says, no, Kol's man, you didn't finish the keli, you didn't finish the olive oil, it's still the same initial use. So therefore, you don't have to tevil it. So the Megillah Sefer argues, he says, the Chazon Ish's second idea, that a keli that takes a very long time to empty of its contents, that's considered a keli, that is highly questionable, says the Megillah Sefer, based on what Yeshua Leib Diskin said. Ellie.
If you want to reuse a snapple bottle, you would have to tevil it.
So many poskim assume that if you want to reuse a snapple bottle, you definitely have to tevil it. Reb Moshe Feinstein has a razzle-dazzle idea. He says that since it's a temporary keli fundamentally, if you decide to reuse it, you are making it into a keli. So it's asiya al yedei Yisrael. Whenever it's asiya al yedei Yisrael, no tevila is required. That's already a lamda shechap. It's a lamda shechap of Reb Moshe. Okay. So, bekitzer.
Poskim don't hold up the lamda shechap?
Again, I think many poskim assume that if you're going to reuse a keli, then it requires tevila. Rav Shechter holds that disposable stuff requires tevila. Rav Shechter would tevil his aluminum pans. There's a tshuva in the Minchas Yitzchak, to tevil aluminum pans. Most of us assume that we don't tevil aluminum pans, but if it's going to be something that you'll use and reuse and reuse, and that means a cha'ora, not just like when I make potatoes for Shabbos in an aluminum pan, and I will take the potatoes out until the next Thursday, right? That's not called reusing, according to Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin. Oh, there you have it, right? The jet foil, 2.25 pounds pan, right? It's not called reusing it if you cook something in it and then you empty it out over time, according to Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin. According to the Chazon Ish, it is called reusing it. According to the Chazon Ish, okay, you should have to table it. That, no one ever heard of that idea. That sounds like a little extreme. Oh.
Says Eino Tzarech Tevila. We got the Fermi brand.
Right, so the Eino Tzarech Tevila is a scandal. Because let's say those aluminum pans were sold to a Goyish store, and then you buy it, then it is Tzarech Tevila.
How I got them from Caesar.
Reputable rabbi put a hafshgog on an aluminum pan that Eino Tzarech Tevila. It's not true. It might be Eino Tzarech Tevila that was made by a Jew in the factory, but I also have to trace, did a guy own it at any point? Yeah.
So if you bought it from a Jewish store, though?
If I bought it from a Jewish store, and I can assume that the Jewish store bought it straight from the Jewish factory, then Eino Tzarech Tevila. But to put a hashgacha on something that Eino Tzarech Tevila is, I think, sheker, because I can't assume that it was always Jewish owned. Right? Okay, gentlemen, we're going to have to finish this discussion, the Chazon Ish, tomorrow, and try to give some practical applications. I am a very bad assessor of how long it will take me to do any given sugya. Okay, Chavra, have a great day.
Have you ever seen these three brands sold in Goyish store?
If it's something that's made by Jews, but it's sold in the Goyish store, it requires tevila. Once a Goy owns it at any point, the Keli requires Geiros, which is tevila. That's right.